السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبياء الله وخاتم رسله حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، وعلى سيدي ومولاي الإمام أبي عبد الله الحسين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وعلى أهل بيته الكرام وأصحابه الميامين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه وأعد له عذابا عظيما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. This is chapter 4 verse 93. It says, whosoever slays a believer willfully, his recompense is hellfire, abiding therein. God is wroth with him, meaning God's wrath is on him, and curses him, and prepares for him a mighty punishment. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 93. A scholar asked me once, from the Sunni tradition, a friend of mine, we were having friendly discussion, and this is how we should have our discussions: in a friendly atmosphere, in an atmosphere of mutual respect. This is how we reach our goals. This is how we get closer to each other. This is how we strengthen our community, our ummah, when we have an open, candid, friendly, and polite discussion about the history of Islam. We don't intend to put each other's down, because we are brothers. Sunnis and Shias are nothing but brothers. We should not be divided. Many of the Shias and the Sunnis have good intentions, good souls, good deeds. They love the Prophet. They love the family of the Prophet. They love the companions of the Prophet. So therefore, when we speak, we should come with clean intention, pure intention of strengthening our religion. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The conversation has to be candid and friendly and very open. We don't hide things from each other. So this friend of mine asked me this question. He said, let me be honest with you. Don't you think that Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, the grandson of the Prophet, should have waited some time before he rose against Yazid ibn Muawiyah? Wasn't he hasty in his revolution? Because look what happened. He was killed. His family was butchered. His women, his sisters, were paraded in Kufa and Sham and other cities. They were brought before Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, before the caliph Yazid ibn Muawiyah in Damascus, and in many other cities. Was it really worth it? He was asking me this question. Was it really worth it to stand up to Yazid and to declare his revolution against Yazid? What was the answer? I like the question, by the way. There is nothing wrong in asking such question. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong to inquire about the history of Islam and the history of the companions and the history of the Prophet and the history of the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their deeds. Nothing wrong if we inquire. We need to learn. We need to expand our knowledge. We should not follow blindly. We should love the critique. Constructive criticism is very good, is very healthy, is very necessary. We both, Shias and Sunnis, must ask and inquire, investigate. Nothing is taboo. Nothing is a taboo or don't ask this. No, you shouldn't ask this. You should ask. You should ask everything. Beginning with God's identity, monotheism, till the smallest thing in religion. We must ask. We must debate. But we have to be polite. We should have good intention, an intention of learning, not defaming. This is the difference between someone who wants to really discover and learn and find out about the truth and someone who comes to just to slander and vilify and call you names. According to the Prophet, sal mustafhiman wa la tasal muta'annitan. When you ask, ask with a spirit of inquiring and learning, not defying. Don't ask arrogantly. Ask a question that you really need to find out about the answer. So this is what I said to this sheikh, my friend who's an imam of a mosque. I said to him, sheikh, my friend, you are an imam. You give speeches, you lead the Friday prayers, you guide people, you give lectures, you make people aware of their religious duties, aware of their Islam, aware of their faith and religion. You connect them to God. So, if someone comes to you one day, suppose someone comes to you and says, this is some money, $100,000, $500,000, $1,000,000. I'll give you this money, but I want you instead to go to the Friday sermon next Friday and tell the people, your congregation, tell them that fornication is lawful, drinking alcohol is lawful, murder with no reason, with no justification is lawful, gambling is lawful, acts of theft is lawful, bribery is lawful, injustice, oppression, hurting your family, domestic violence, hurting your neighbors, dishonesty, lies, all these things are lawful. Would you do this? He turned to me and he smiled. He said, what sort of question is this? Why do you ask me? I said, it's only question. Yes or no? He said, of course no. You know I'm going to say no. So why do you ask me? Why do you waste your time? I said to him, no. I don't intend to waste your time or my time. I'm asking because you just answered your question about Imam Hussein. You just answered it. You know the answer. He said, how? I said, Yazid came to Imam Hussein and he sought his allegiance, his bay'ah, and he wanted Imam Hussein to endorse him. Who is Yazid? Leave the Shia aside. Don't even read their books. Read the Sunni books. This is one of the most important books of history, sociology, anthropology in Islam, written by Abd al-Rahman ibn Khaldun. Al-Allama ibn Khaldun. Who doesn't know him? He's considered to be the founder of sociology in the world, not just Islam. Okay? Allama ibn Khaldun. This is Muqaddamat ibn Khaldun. Very well known, and it has been translated to many languages. Go to page 207. 207. He says, فَالْأَوَّلُ مِنْهَا مَا حَدَثَ فِي يَزِيدٍ مِنَ الْفِسْقِ أَيَّامَ خِلَافَتِهِ. Fisq means debauchery, means the excessive indulgence in sensual pleasure. Sensual pleasures means everything. Everything which is forbidden to see, to say, to hear, to touch, to do, to practice, this is sensual pleasure. Ibn Khaldun says, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, the caliph, was supposed to succeed the Prophet Muhammad on the seat of the caliphate. He was fasiq. And Ibn Khaldun is a die-hard supporter of Bani Umayyah. He loves Bani Umayyah. He defends Bani Umayyah. He speaks highly of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. See what he says about Muawiyah. فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَظُنْ بِمُعَاوِيَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ عَلِمَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ يَزِيدٍ فَإِنَّهُ أَعْدَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَفْضَلٌ. And don't even assume, this is what he says, don't even assume for a second that Muawiyah knew about the deviation, the corruption, debauchery of his son Yazid. Because Muawiyah is too high, too religious, too pious to know this and then still appoint him as his successor. I have nothing but to smile and laugh at this. Muawiyah doesn't know about his son? Tell me, where in this world a father does not know about the character of his son? A father who is grooming his son, preparing him to be his successor. Is this realistic? A father knows nothing about his son? Knows nothing about his son? And then he appoints him, and then all of a sudden, overnight, Yazid was nice and pious and righteous during his father's time. All of a sudden, after Muawiyah's death, he turns overnight, he turns into a bad person. Is this real? Can you believe in this? Then he says here that Imam Hussein was right in fighting Muawiyah. Yazid. And Yazid has no right to kill Imam Hussein. فَلَا يَجُوزُ. This is in page 212, same book. مُقَدَّمَةِ ابن خلدون. Same book. فَلَا يَجُوزُ قِتَالُ الْحُسَيْنِ مَعَ يَزِيدٍ وَلَا لِيَزِيدٍ. Yazid has no right to murder Imam Hussein. بَلْ هِيَ مِنْ فَعَلَاتِهِ الْمُؤَكِّدَةِ لِفِسْقِهِ. Yazid murdering Imam Hussein perpetuates his debauchery, his indecency, his non-believing in God. وَالْحُسَيْنُ فِيهَا شَهِيدٌ مُثَابٌ. Definitely in his revolution, Imam Hussein is rewarded by God and he's a martyr. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ حَقٍ وَاشْتِهَادٍ. Hussein is on the right path. وَقَدْ غَلَطَ الْقَاضِي أَبُو بَكْرُ بْنُ الْعَرَبِيِّ الْمَالِكِي. This is not Ibn Arabi, this is Ibn al-Arabi, two philosophers. They have similar names. This one is Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. فِي هَذَا فَقَالَ فِي كِتَابِهِ الَّذِي سَمَّاهُ بِالْعَوَاصِمِ وَالْقَوَاصِمِ مَا مَعْنَاهُ. He has a book, this man, Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, by the name of Al-Awasim wal-Qawasim, the title of his book. What did he say? Ibn Khaldun says that Abu Bakr says in his book, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ قُتِلَ بِشَرْعِ جَدِّهِ. Hussein was murdered according to the law of his grandfather, the Prophet. What does that mean? It means the Prophet said, you have to listen to the Emir, to the Sultan, to the Caliph, even if he is corrupt. And this hadith is found in Muslim. Muslim is here behind me. Sahih Muslim and other books. That even if you see something that you dislike, even if he commits an act of murder, huge sin, still listen to your emir, to your leader, to your president. Listen to him, obey him, pay allegiance to him. Of course we don't accept this hadith, because this hadith contradicts with this book. And Sunnis and Shias both agree that when a hadith contradicts with the Quran, فَضْرِبُوا بِهِ عَرْضَ الْحَائِطِ, throw this hadith against the wall. Toss this hadith away. And the Prophet would never say something against this book, because this book says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not even get close or support or aid or promote or advocate the wrongdoers, lest fire is going to touch you and burn you. This book says stay away from wrongdoers. Don't support them. So the Prophet would never tell you, if you have an emir, a caliph who's corrupt, and he's committing mischief in the land, he's wronging his subjects, you still have to listen to him and obey him and pay allegiance to him and say to him, As-sam'u wa-ta'a. The Prophet will never say that. These are fabrications created during Bani Umayyah's time to justify their corruption, to justify their dictatorship. Bukhari himself says, Bukhari said, I chose only 4,000 hadith, only 4,000 in my book, in his Sahih, he has only 4,000 from 60,000 hadiths. 60,000! Meaning the rest, which is 56,000 hadiths, are corrupted. Fabrications. Bukhari himself says, and this happened during the time of Bani Umayyah, these fabrications. And after that, during the time of Bani al-Abbas. So not every hadith is worthy to be put in your book and you call it Sahih, authentic. This is a crime. Crime against the Prophet. Crime against God. Crime against the truth. So Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki believes that the killing of Imam Hussein by Yazid is justified because Hussein should have sat at home and he should have obeyed Yazid and paid allegiance to him and support him. Why did he revolt against him? Therefore, he deserves death because he was killed according to the law and rules and regulations and the sunnah and the shar' of his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad. Ibn Khaldun refuses this. He says, no, Ibn al-Arabi is wrong. وَهُوَ غَلَطٌ What Ibn Arabi said in his book about Imam Hussein, that he deserves death, is completely wrong. حَمَلَتْهُ عَلَيْهِ الْغَفْلَةِ Ibn al-Arabi was considered philosopher. Ibn Khaldun also justifies for him. And he says غَفْلَة. He was forgetful, you know. He made a mistake. عَنْ اشْتِرَاطِ الْإِمَامِ الْعَادِلِ That Yazid was not Imam Adil, so Imam... The Prophet, what he meant by do not rise against the Sultan, if the Sultan or the Caliph is just, adil, is fair, is a believer, is pious, not someone like Yazid ibn Muawiyah, who's corrupt. وَمَنْ أَعْدَلُ مِنَ الْحُسَيْنِ فِي زَمَانِهِ Ibn Khaldun continues to say about Imam Hussein, who is more just and fair than Imam Hussein during his lifetime? في إمامته, in his leadership, وعدالته, in his justice, في قتال أهل الآراء, when he decided to fight Yazid and his likes. So this is a quotation from a very important source in Sunni Islam, مقدمة ابن خلدون. So I said to this Sheikh, my friend, that you don't accept, you consider it to be offensive to you if I tell you, if someone tells you, take this money and go to the pulpit and then switch or change the truth. Say all these sins, fornication, murder, theft, anything, bribery, gambling, drinking alcohol, they are okay, they are halal, they are fine. You get offended. He said, yes, I get offended because I don't sell my religion cheap, even if he gives me money. I said, how about if he puts you in jail? He says, even if I go to jail, I'm not going to say this. He said, even if he kills me. I said, then Sheikh, my friend, you answered your question. Imam Hussein was threatened by jail and by murder by Yazid. Yazid, when he succeeded his father Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan in year 60 Hijri, Muawiyah died in 60. Yazid immediately wrote to the provinces, and one of them is Iraq, to his governor of Iraq and all the governors, including Medina, that خذ الحسين أخذا شديدا. You must seek the allegiance, the bay'ah of all people, but Hussein in particular, Hussein. Because Hussein is a leader, is the grandson of the Prophet. If he pays allegiance to us, the rest are easy. But if Hussein resists, we are in trouble. Therefore, you have to force him. So the governor of Medina, and this is everywhere, behind me, covered by the banner of Ya Hussein, behind me is Tariq al-Tabari. I can show it to you, but I don't have enough time, the problem, to bring all these books. Tabari and others and others and others and others. Mention the story when the governor of Medina summoned Imam Hussein to his palace in Medina, telling him that Muawiyah is dead, Yazid is the new caliph, the new president of the community worldwide, the new caliph, and you have to pay allegiance to him. Imam Hussein said, no, I'm not going to pay allegiance to Yazid. The governor said, but there is a threat of murder. Imam Hussein said to him, listen. Marwan was sitting there, Marwan ibn al-Hakim. Marwan, who hates Ahlul Bayt and Bani Hashim and Imam Ali and Imam Hussein and the family of the Prophet. Marwan ibn al-Hakim. He said to the governor, listen, don't let Hussein leave this room before he pays allegiance to Yazid. If he leaves this room tonight, you would not be able to contain him tomorrow. So if he doesn't pay allegiance, just cut his head. Separate his head from his body. This is what he said to the governor of Medina. Imam Hussein turned to Marwan and he said to him, you know, just sit down, relax. And then Imam Hussein turned to the governor of the Umayyad governor of Medina. He said to him, simply, few words, small statement, but very meaningful, which summarizes the debauchery and the corruption of Yazid and the entire political system of that time. In one sentence, one line, Yazid rajulun fasiqun fajirun. Yazid is a person who's licentious, indecent, libertine, desolate. قاتل للنفس المحترمة شارب للخمر drunkard, and also a murderer. قاتل للنفس المحترمة. He kills innocent souls, honorable souls that God forbids us to kill and to murder. ومثلي لا يبايع مثله. Simply put. Someone like me, the grandson of the Prophet, the Imam, the true representative of God and the Prophet, true Hujjatullahi ala al-Ardh, true Caliph of God, not just the Prophet, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. It applies to the Prophet and his family, not the wrongdoers. Wa mithli, someone like me, is not paying allegiance to someone like Yazid, period. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايعُ مِثْلَهُ. That's it. So I said to my friend, the Sheikh, what do you think of this? Should have Hussein paid allegiance to Yazid? Because you told me just 2 minutes ago, you would not accept someone giving you money, even if he puts you in jail, even if he murders you, you would not accept him. You would not accept to go to the pulpit and tell and switch the halal into haram and distort God's message. You don't. You don't accept that for yourself. Would you accept that for Imam Hussein? So do you know the answer now? Why Imam Hussein was right? And why Imam Hussein was not in haste to murder himself? But he wanted to protect Islam. And he was just, and his cause is just. And that was the only way to protect Islam. The only way is for someone like Imam Hussein, a leader, universal leader, which is well respected by the Muslim Ummah, to rise and to shake the entire Ummah. Even though he has a small number of followers. The Prophet had a small number of followers in Mecca. How many followers the Prophet had? They came to him. They said to him, Ya Muhammad, we can give you our women, our daughter, our gold, our silver, our lands, our properties, our money. Give up on this, what you call it, Risala. This is nonsense. Give up on that. We can make you a king, but don't say I'm the messenger of God. They sent Abu Talib to the Prophet. He said, Wallahi ya am. لَوَّضَعُ الشَّمْسَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرَ فِي يَسَارِي. Not just they give me land and gold and silver. They put the whole solar system in my hands. Sun in the right, moon in the left. أَلَا أَنْ أَتْرُكَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. To give up this mission, I'm not going to give up until I die, until I die. He refused. They accused him of creating conflict, commotion, corrupting our young ones. We are a stable society. Mecca is a beautiful home, beautiful society. People are living in peace and harmony. We go about our daily lives. We eat, we drink, we party, we enjoy ourselves. So why, Muhammad, why you are coming to destroy everything? Why you are creating problem and headache for us? Give up this. The Prophet said, this is not me, this is God. The same thing they said to Imam Hussein. Sit down in your home, relax, enjoy, eat, drink, enjoy your family. Why do you want to trouble yourself? Why do you go to Iraq to kill yourself? Why do you stand against Yazid? Yazid is ruthless. Yazid is bad. People of Iraq are not going to support you. Look to what they did to your father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, to your brother Imam Hassan. They are not going to be loyal. So don't listen to them. Don't be deceived. Don't be naive. They said all these things to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein's answer was what? In this book, Surah Al-Kahf, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. What I am going to do is not my own desire. It is God's wish, God's desire, God's command, God's order. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. This was the answer of Imam Hussein. When God said to Ibrahim in this book, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He saw in the dream, a dream. Just a dream. Murdering his son. He came to his son in the morning. A son of 12 or 13 or 14 years old. No more. And Ibrahim is in his 90s. And he doesn't know whether he's going to have another son or not. Because Isaac was younger than Ishmael. 14 years younger. So Ishmael at that time was the only son. The only son. He never hesitated. He never said, maybe I'm hallucinating, maybe this is not right. God said, murder your son, period. It goes against rationality, it goes against reason, it goes against public opinion, it goes against fatherhood. He's a father. But he never hesitated, because this is the commands of God. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. I follow what God is asking me. I would never hesitate, even if I go by myself alone. These are the commands of God. And thus Imam Hussein decided to go. And Imam Hussein saw how his grandfather, the Prophet, when he was young. Salama says, دَخَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ حُجْرَتِهِ لِيَسْتَرِيحِ. This hadith is in the books of both parties, both aisles, both sides. He went into his room to rest a little bit. وَإِذَا بِالْحُسَيْنِ طِفْلٌ يَلْعَبْ. Hussein is a baby playing. فَدَخَلَ عَلَىٰ جَدِّهِ. He went into the room where his grandfather was laying down. فَلَمْ أَمْلُكْ أَنْ أَمْنَعَهُ. I could not stop him. I was unable to stop Hussein from going and seeing his grandfather. وَبَعْدَ سَاعَةٍ. After a period of time. دَخَلْتُ فَرَأَيْتُ الْحُسَيْنِ. جالسا على صدر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I went into the room. I saw Hussein sitting on the chest of his father, the Prophet. وفي كف النبي شيء يقلبه ودموعه تجري. In the palm of the Prophet, there is something where the Prophet was flipping it, and his tears are coming down. فقلت لا أبكى الله عينك يا رسول الله. May you be always happy. May you be not sad, O the Messenger of God. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أم سلمة إن هذا جبرائيل. This is Gabriel. يخبرني أن ابني هذا مقتول بأرض العراق في أرض يقال لها كربلاء. This son, Hussein, is going to be slain in a land of Iraq, specific land called كربلاء. وقد أتاني من تربته التي يقتل عليها فخذيها وضعيها في قارورة. He brought me a sample of the soil where Imam Hussein is going to be murdered. Take this, put it in a bottle. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتِهَا صَارَتْ دَمًا. When it turns into blood, فَعْلَمِي أَنَّ ابْنِي قَدْ قُتِلْ. Then you know that my son has been murdered. The last time Imam Hussein met his grandfather, the Prophet was dying. Imam Hussein is only 7 years old. The Prophet hugs Imam Hussein and he says, مالي ولي يزيد لا بارك الله فيه. What animosity this man Yazid has against me. Why? He has so much hate against me. May God never bless Yazid. ثم غشي عليه. The Prophet fainted. وأفاق وجعل يقبل الحسين. وعيناه تذرفان. تذرفان. He started hugging and kissing Hussein while his tears rolling down. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ أَمَا إِنَّ لِي وَلِقَاتِلِكَ مَوْقِفًا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Me and your murderer Yazid have a long standing before the judge on the day of judgment before Allah. He will have a long standing before God. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أنصار الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.